Isn't this a sports show?
Listen, so today's show might be bad.
Almost entirely.
Next hour, we'll do entirely sports. How dumb am I? I fooled myself.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
God forbid this is the first time you've heard this show in any way whatsoever.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Oh, Deshaun, I love to see the future.
This is my Twitter impression.
Deshaun Watson, you're the future, and I love you. You got it, the
throne
from Brady. You're the new king of the AFC.
He throws a pick.
Oh, Deshaun, you're a bust.
On ESPN Kansas City.
You want the craziest bleeping stat you've ever heard in your whole life? I promise you, unless you've been on my Twitter today, you're going to hear me say this statistic, and your head is going to explode. So sit down, make sure your life insurance is all set up, write a letter to your loved ones and tell them that there's nothing you could do. The stat was just too insane. Marcus Peters and Derek Johnson have the same number of solo tackles this year. How bonkers is that? They both have 37. Matt Verderan retweeted that earlier and said that that Derek Johnson should be put on the ring in the Ring of Honor tomorrow for the Kansas City Chiefs for two reasons. One, because he's a fantastic player that deserves to be honored, and two, because he should retire today. I felt like that was mean-spirited. But we spend so much time hearing about how soft and lazy Marcus Peters is. He has as many tackles as your starting inside linebacker. Who has split some time with Reggie Ragland, Kevin Pierre-Louis, etc. But actually, though, so Marcus Peters and Derek Johnson both have 37 tackles this year. 37 solo tackles this year. That's tied for fifth most tackles on the Chiefs. Terrence Mitchell, Justin Houston, Derek Johnson, and Marcus Peters all have between 39 and 37 tackles. All just two tackles apart. The initial find from that was from Jason Grill on Twitter, and I went and expanded the search to make it even more fun. Charlie, have you retweeted my tweet yet from the 810 Twitter account? I need you to do that because people need to see this. People need to see this crazy stat action.
They also need to see that you're the one tweeting it.
No one else has tweeted what I tweeted. I'm it.
You're innovative.
Bruh. Listen, like I am an admitted self-promoter. That's fun. I want people to, find the work that I do and everything. And I like having people to tweet with on Twitter. Twitter is way less lonely when you have, friends. People like following you. So much better. The suckiness of Chiefs Sundays has been so much better with other people to commiserate with. But I also just, want people to see this stat because it's kind of combating, my current least favorite narrative in football.
So here's my question as somebody that's not a football expert.
Sure.
Is that Marcus Peters is actually good at tackling and we're just idiots, or is that God the Chiefs suck at tackling?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little bit about the reason that, Daniel Sorensen and Ron Parker, I don't have the numbers in front of me anymore. A good host would have kept them up. All right, Charlie just said, why not? All right, go to hell. Beards, could I get some music for me finding those stats again? But I know, without having the specific numbers, I know that Daniel Sorensen and Ron Parker lead the team in tackles and solo tackles, and I don't love having your safeties leading your team in tackles. That's not awesome. I'm sure it's very common. I'm sure Eric Berry did it many, many years in a row. That's not my favorite thing, though.
Are you ready for music?
Yeah, I got to find this. Was there a Facebook comment that made you guys laugh?
Anybody sit on a couch?
What?
Facebook comment just, yo, anyone selling a couch?
Why? What was
for? I don't know. Thomas, no, I'm not selling one.
Was that for me telling everyone to sit down?
Maybe.
I mean, that has to be what that was for, right? Okay, great.
Do you have those stats yet?
Yep.
Perfect timing.
Almost. Got it. So Daniel Sorensen has 56. Ron Parker has 49. Terrence Mitchell has 39. Justin Houston has 38. Derek Johnson has 37. Marcus Peters has 37. And then Benny Logan, 31. Reggie Ragland, 25. Steven Nelson, 24. Nelson's missed a lot of games, too. Nelson in five games has 24 tackles, which puts him on pace to be the, I think, maybe the leading tackler on the team, actually, if he would have played all 12. What were you going to say?
Charlie said good, miss more.
Charlie said what?
Good, miss more.
Steven Nelson. Okay, got it. Okay, so here's the problem with this, though. Usually the problem with this is with people who hate Marcus Peters and want to trade him or whatever right now. What were you going to say, Beards?
Also, I just looked up the leader in tackles for this year in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's 117.
Who?
Zach Brown.
The country singer?
Yes.
Wow.
There's a guy on Cleveland, Joe Schobert, who's got 101, Bobby Wagner, 100, and then Blake Martinez has 99. So I think that was...
And so Zach Brown, is he... He's a linebacker for somebody, right?
I think he was Washington.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wow. That's unbelievable. So, yeah, the Chiefs aren't doing great.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So that
and also the Chiefs'
question.
Defense. The Chiefs' defense has gone up against a lot of plays. Charlie is teasing me, like, with him maybe. I felt like it was something that more people should see, so it would make sense to retweet the tweet. That's all. I'm not
Charlie. What you should do is copy the text out of there and tweet it from the 810 account.
Okay.
Just tag me in it. It's fine.
Or tweet it from my own account and then retweet that.
Oh,
I like that idea.
He would fight.
Do that.
You would catch these hands.
No, wait. I'll do it. Nobody will expect good football information coming from me.
We do need to have. This is something we need to do as a show. We need to give Beards good football tweets that we retweet from the 810 account so we can get Beards' follower count up. We do need to do that.
And then when they actually listen to the show and expect good football insights from me.
Or just see the rest of your tweets.
And I go, huh? What? Football?
Yeah. No. That's a really good idea.
Then I just lose everyone en masse.
You keep saying, you say en masse. Isn't it en masse?
Sure.
Like, it's E. I know it's definitely E-N.
Whatever.
En masse.
All at once.
There it is. I'm not going to read into it a ton because, Marcus Peters has four assisted tackles because he's a corner. He's not supposed to be crashing in, for those four yard stops. And Derek Johnson has a bunch more of those and everything. It's fine. But I just thought it was funny because we have this narrative that Marcus Peters just can't hit and he has as many tackles as Derek Johnson. What are you guys cackling at? I don't like this game we're playing.
The comment section has just devolved into trying to buy and sell couches.
Into a couch marketplace.
I actually also could use a couch.
Oh, somebody just said I'll trade you a waterbed.
No, absolutely not. I have no interest in a waterbed.
We need to crack down on this now. We need to be able to have a percentage fee for, hooking people up this way.
That's a good call.
Yeah. I'll put that in the comments. How much percentage? 50?
Ooh, I was going to say 20. Of sales. I think 20. And then you and I split. You and I each get 9% each Beards, and then we give Charlie 2%.
Okay.
Because he's in the building.
Deal. Apparently.
That's, as always, the internet's not working correctly. I'm so confused. The comment section is moving so fast. Why are people trying to buy a couch here? What's going on? This talk of couches and ottomans and waterbeds. Is somebody, are we being punked? Did we just, because there are Facebook pages that are Shawnee swap and shop and swap. And those are great because you can you can buy anything there. You can buy anything from a pair of used Vans to meth. And I've bought one of those on a Shawnee swap and shop page. I'll tell you that.
Shubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dubby-dub
if you don't watch the show on Facebook, because we do the show, the podcast, we do it live, etc. On the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, we live stream the show every day, so you can watch the show, and also we have a comment section, which is awesome. And today in the comment section, the people are buying and selling couches, which is truthfully the strangest. I'm not kidding. This is the strangest unprompted thing that's ever happened 5 minutes into a show. Really weird. But lots of comments is great for our show reach.
You don't have to limit yourself to couches, by the way.
What do you mean?
Just buy and sell everything.
Oh,
anything.
Yeah. Bookshelves. Yeah, no, for sure.
Desks.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Hey, who's looking for a desk, huh? Come to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, buy a desk. Sell a phone.
We're the new Craigslist.
ESPN, man, we got to get Charlie right now. Leave there. Go talk to someone in promotion, someone in sales. ESPN Kansas City, the new Craigslist. Get a banner. Get that on T-shirts. I want a button. Maybe some like iron-on patches so I can put it on a jacket. ESPN Kansas City, we're the new Craigslist. It's fantastic. I love this. This is the... Also, bleep you, Chiefs. Look at what you made us do. The Chiefs are so unfun to talk about right now that we're talking about couches and ottomans and waterbeds.
I need a new TV stand. Anybody got one?
You got to comment it. You got to switch to your account and then comment into the post. Because, like, really, this does seem like... Oh, man. Pro Football Focus just put out a tweet with the top three graded wide receivers this week. Third was Tyreek Hill of the Chiefs. Second was Robbie Anderson of the Jets. First was Jermaine Kearse of the Jets.
Man, the Jets must be good.
Can I get some music for writing up a tweet quoting Beard saying, "Wolf, the Jets must be good"? I just need a second to go and get this out here before anybody else jumps on it. It's at Beards McFly. You can follow Beards. Got it. Oh, that's hilarious. We'll check back in on the comments section in a little bit. In fact, we need to just give an update. We're going to talk to Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride here in about 10 minutes. And just mid-interview at some point, Beards, I'm going to ask you for an update on how the couch selling has been going, without any context, probably.
We already got one Stick to Sports tweet.
A tweet?
Yeah, or not tweet, comment. I'm sorry.
Well,
comment.
Listen. Oh, that's from Eddie. Nah, he's cool.
No.
That was sarcastic. Part of this is his fault. All right, so listen, though, I did want to talk about a Chiefs thing, and then we're going to talk about a bunch of Chiefs things with Seth, and then we'll get back to couches, I promise.
You remember right before the show, we were struggling about, you know, oh gosh, we don't want to talk about Chiefs again?
This is how badly.
This has worked out a lot better than I thought today's show would be.
That's true. We started out with a great stat, moved to couches, little Chiefs, little Seth, bunch of couches again. This is good.
Comment from Thomas. Defense has been sitting on the couch. That's the problem.
That seems fair. Also, the couch that I'm looking to replace literally has, like, it's like half broken. Also, very Chiefs defense-esque.
I have a futon. What does that symbolize in the Chiefs?
They fold easily.
Yeah.
Also, they're badly, badly stained. And broken, unwanted, barely functional. Do you sleep on a futon?
I used to when I was younger. It's a comfy futon, man.
But you have an actual
yes,
bed
I have
now,
an actual
like an
bed.
Adult, like a,
yes.
Like a real boy.
Yes.
That's good.
I'm telling you, man, it's a comfy futon.
All right, fine. Anyway, you know,
Charlie just bought a what now?
I just bought a recliner from your show. Thanks.
How did this start? Oh, Thomas just commented, I thought this was a couch show. I mean, just think of how, this is how this show always goes. Imagine how disappointed you would be if you tuned in here for a good old couch show and you heard us talking about sports.
Stick to couches!
Really, you know what this show's been about the last, 2 weeks? This show and my Twitter? It's been about couches and carrots and concussions and the Chiefs are bad. That's the list. Almost entirely couches, carrots, concussions, and Chiefs. They all start with C's, but Chiefs has a different beginning sound. So let's go ahead and stick to almost entirely carrots, couches, and concussions.
And cocaine.
And cocaine! What is it with our fascination with the hard C sound? Almost entirely couches, concussions, cocaine, and carrots. And the Chiefs.
And capenguins.
Oh, and capenguin poops.
All right. I'm crediting Charlie on that one,
That's
by the
a
way,
good
in
call.
Case it was a bad joke.
There are more people! There are people I've never seen in the Facebook comments. I know all of these people. I've seen all these names before, usually. And Eddie just says, if you're just joining the stream, welcome to Josh's Trading Post. Couches, ottomans, and waterbeds only, please.
We have 14 people watching right now.
I mean, okay, fine.
Which is,
all right, F it.
Which is pretty high for us,
yeah,
usually.
We're switching shows. All right, if you're just joining us now, hi, Facebook. We're also broadcasting this on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. This is Joshua's Trading Post Hour. We're going to take a little weird detour outside of our normal conversations. We're going to talk Chiefs with Seth Kaiser in a little bit. But up until then, we're just here. We want to hear your... We want to hear about anything you're trying to sell. In fact, if you want to describe the things that you want to sell, you can call the show at 913-491-8255. The phone number is also on the Facebook page, 913-491-8255, if you want to call in and describe the items you're selling, give the price, and then you can also always post pictures in the Facebook comments. Just list your price and your item.
Do we want to ask Seth if he has anything he needs to sell
100%.
Or he wants to buy?
100%. That's the first question now. I can't even think of how I would explain how this show is, what's happened today. So Beards and Charlie are both just sort of staring at their phones or computers.
I don't understand how this happens.
Me neither.
It's a runaway freight train.
which the show usually is. But usually
but
for different
not like
reasons.
This.
But isn't, you know why this is so weird? This isn't our fault. We didn't do that. All right, we got to take a break.
No, we can't. Off. We have to keep this going.
Because this is the thing. This is why this is so weird. This show being a runaway freight train, totally normal. This show being a runaway freight train just because, of Facebook does not happen. So, again, if you want to talk about your the items you're selling, any... we could open it up to end tables and desks and Renee says she would sell a date with me for a discount on a couch. I don't think she can do that, but that's fine. Somebody new has now joined in to ask if we're still on a couch. All right, listen, Beach and Charlie, I need you both to look me in the eyes right now. I need you both to look up right now and look me in the eyes and tell me, do you have any idea what's going on right now or why this is happening?
No, but it's amazing. Please don't stop.
Someone just called in and said, you got a show about couches going on right now?
That didn't happen.
Oh, I prefer ottomans.
That did not happen. That didn't happen. That can't have happened. I mean, the show is broken.
I need a footrest, by the way, guys. Anybody got one?
That's what an ottoman is. Is there a difference between an ottoman and a normal footrest? I'd like a nice, bar stool. With a back also, though, maybe. I don't know. Something nice and cushioned. This, because, like, okay, so, breathe. Usually whenever the show does something insane like this, I look at it and it's like, oh, these are my, almost entirely furniture is the name of the show. I look at this and go, like, oh, like, some of my friends have decided that they're going to try to ransack, the show today. That's not what's happening right now.
We have 42 comments in the first segment of the show.
And we've talked, I gave you one really good Chief stat. And then I've commented. All right, here are the last three comments. And then we're going to break. Here are the last three comments. I have a two-legged bar stool for you. I'm highly disappointed in the lack of couch. And can we talk baseball?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
We talk about cocaine on this show a lot.
Almost entirely cocaine.
Oh, man, I wish.
With Joshua Briscoe.
No, man, listen, you know how I know that I can't have a cocaine habit? I don't have cocaine money.
On ESPN Kansas City.
The first segment of today's show gave me a headache.
It was amazing, though.
Oh, it's not. I mean, we're going to continue to live off this energy. As we welcome in Seth Kaiser, this just happens, Seth, and I'm sorry. I have to explain to you what the show's been about the first 25 minutes, just so you're not completely lost as to this labyrinth that we're currently in that you've been now dropped into from above.
Oh, sure. I'm very used to feeling completely lost. So,
okay.
I mean, either way is good.
Good. Well, so what happened was we streamed this show on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page so people can watch the show and comment as we go through and everything.
Uh-huh.
And today, legitimately, apropos of nothing, the comment section is now like 40 comments of people discussing buying, selling, and trading couches. 52 comments. 52 comments.
Look at you.
And so we've just become a trading post today. So are you looking for any furniture of any sort? Are you looking to move any furniture? Can we help connect you to some furniture needy people?
You know, when you have five children like I do,
right,
your furniture gets ruined. And so my general tendency is I take hand-me-downs from people who don't have kids.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, we need a new couch because we're swimming in money. And we say, great, give us your old couch because we need a couch and we're not going to pay, you know, cause couches are oddly expensive. And so, you know, so we'll take someone's old couch so that way they don't have to throw it away and then everyone's happy because we got something free that the kids can ruin.
Right.
And they don't have to go to the dump. So everyone wins. But you got, man, look at you guys, you monsters of capitalism just starting a trading post out of Facebook. Well done, you.
All right, so if you want to give Seth non-kid-destroyed pieces of furniture, you can tweet him at RealMNChiefsFan and let him know. The shipping is going to be a real pain if you're in the Kansas City area. But we're not local, though. We're international with this whole trading post thing. So if you can move it, you can sell it in this ESPN Kansas City trading post. We have found our niche. It is in furniture moving.
That's what's important is having a niche, whatever it is.
Yes.
As long as you have one.
And we apparently found it in the strangest possible place. all right, like really everything else feels so out of place now because this has just not been a very Chiefy day because, you know, it's hard to talk about the Chiefs right now. It's kind of sad. It's kind of hopeless. There's kind of an apathy about it right now. I know I'm feeling it currently. I'm not excited about Sunday. I'm not excited about a couple division games in back-to-back weeks because I don't really want to watch this team play more games right now. I feel like I know how it's going to go. You wrote, though, on Arrowhead Pride about the defense, because that was the problem last week. You wrote about the defense and your theory that maybe the defense just isn't as talented as we thought it was.
Yes, I did. And, you know, coming into the season, I was one of the people that thought the Chiefs had a legitimate shot at an elite defense this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of pieces seem to be falling into place. But every year, you are counting on certain things to occur, right? You're counting on certain players to not regress, and you're counting on certain players to improve. And so what you do is you try to be as logical about it as possible. So, like, say, like a guy like Chris Jones, for example, right? Mm-hmm. He had a wonderful rookie season. Defensive linemen rarely have even average rookie seasons. He was quite good. And so, you know, you can logically say, man, he was that good as a rookie. Now he's got an off season to work on his pad level and his recognition skills. He's going to be even better, right? So you do things like that.
Yep.
And you count on them at least not regressing. Or, like, say, in the case of DJ, well, you know, yeah, he hurt his Achilles, but he's had that happen before. He came back strong. He'll still probably be, even if he's not what he was, he'll probably still be a decent player, right?
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
The problem with the Chiefs is a lot of their bad scenarios happened, and not many of their good scenarios happened. One of the only things that's happened that we were hopeful about was that Justin Houston has been healthy all year, and people debate that. I'm not here to get into a big debate about Justin Houston's efficacy. Anyone I've asked who watches him on film sees what he's doing and the weird roles that he's being asked to take on, because I think Sutton is using him to try to plug certain holes in the defense.
Agreed.
So that's like the one good thing that's happened, right?
Yeah.
Everything else, you know, like Chris Jones has kind of regressed.
Yep.
DJ came back. He was, you know, unfortunately, a shell of what he was even last year. And even now he's playing a little better, but it's not what you need. Eric Berry obviously got hurt, and when one of the two best defenders on your team gets hurt, and one of the guys around which your entire defensive scheme is designed, that's bad.
Yes.
Daniel Sorensen didn't play as well as we would have hoped in an increased role. Eric Murray didn't develop. D. Ford did not take a step forward. You know, last year was fine. Like, you know, okay, Ford's okay. Well, this year he's been hurt or he's been ineffective. You know, you just go across the line. Benny Logan's been all right, but he hasn't been anything special.
Yeah.
Alan Bailey has been all right, but he hasn't been anything special. And all the defensive line, they've kind of struggled getting off blocks. Yeah. Nacho didn't take a step forward like we were hoping. Steven Nelson kind of stagnated to exactly what he was, not necessarily another step forward like we were hoping. Same with Terrence Mitchell. And so what you've got is, you know, and before every season, you've got your good scenarios and your bad scenarios. And it's like, well, okay, if 10 good things happen and 4 bad things happen, they'll be great. Well, this year it was like 1 or 2 good things and about 15 bad things.
Yep.
And as a result, the defense that we're seeing on the field just isn't as talented as we anticipated.
And that plays into your follow-up to that in your article on Arrowhead Pride, your Eric Berry theory.
Yes.
I almost just decided to try to summarize it for everyone, and then I realized that we have you here, so that would be silly of me. What is your Eric Berry theory?
My theory on Eric Berry is that the Chiefs defense has actually been stagnating just a bit talent-wise over the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
as guys like Tom Bahali and Derek Johnson, because if you think back to 2013, right?
Yep.
Two of the biggest contributors would have been Derek Johnson and Tom Bahali.
Right.
Right. Those are the guys you count on. And even last year, while Bahali had limited snap counts, he made some clutch plays in important times.
Yep.
And DJ was obviously the fulcrum of the run defense. So anyway, so the talent level has dropped just a bit as the defense has aged. Think what happened to the offense in like 2005, 2006, how it seemed like it got old overnight. Certain key players that are counted on in this scheme to play at an all-pro or a Pro Bowl level have taken a few steps back. Now, as that started happening, Eric Berry is a specific kind of player who can do anything.
Yep.
Like, it would not stun me if they lined him up at defensive tackle. I mean,
right.
He can do anything.
Sure.
And so what they've done with him is based on matchups. If you watch last year, like let's say take last year's game against the Panthers.
Yep.
This was at the point where the Chiefs were struggling against the run, and everyone thought they were going to get run on for about 300 yards by that team.
Yep.
Instead, they were very strong because they had Eric Berry play like on the line half the game. They had him play in the box a ton. They had him play in a little robber role where he got that incredible pick six. So what you could do with Berry is, depending on your matchup and what they might try to pick on with your team, you could kind of have Berry, you know, like, you know, Bruce Lee's be like water thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric Berry was like water. He would flow to the area of need and covered up. Now, Is Eric Berry alone the difference between a terrible defense and elite defense? No. But he was able to cover up some weaknesses. You know the character from Pulp Fiction, the wolf, the guy that solves problems?
I don't, but I have an understanding.
Oh, yeah, sometimes I forget that I'm much, much, much older than you.
I should have seen Pulp Fiction by now. That one's on me. That's on me. It's okay.
Yeah, yeah, that one's all on you. Most of your listeners should understand unless they're all also, you know, under the age of 20 or whatever it is you are.
It's close. So,
the wolf solves problems. And that is what he does. He takes things that are not going well. He takes things that are not going well, and he changes them into something that does go well.
Yeah.
So no one else can fulfill the role what Eric Berry does. And so he had a defense that was losing talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't notice it because Berry was able to cover up those weaknesses. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course, yes. He was spackling over the gaps in the dam, the holes in the dam, at least keeping the water from bursting.
He was the guy... He was the guy with the finger in the dam.
Yes.
That was Eric Berry.
Yes.
And so now that he's gone, now we're seeing, and now that he's gone, and in addition, those other guys have taken more steps backward.
Yep.
Now we've got real problems.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money, and this is the place that we're at now that's so frustrating. First of all, the obvious first solution is trading away Marcus Peters and getting ready to cut Justin Houston as soon as possible. I don't know how you haven't mentioned that yet.
Well, yeah, when you've got a dearth of talent, I think the thing to do is pick out the two most talented players.
Yep.
And let's cut them.
Get rid of them.
Here's a fair thing. I will say this about Marcus Peters. If you go through the film, you absolutely see plays where he should be laying hits and he's not.
Sure.
Now, on the flip side, there's this idea that he's never tackling anyone. That's not true either. You know, most often with this stuff, the truth is somewhere in between.
Yes.
But no one's interested in in between.
Nope.
They want a narrative.
Nope.
And really, right now, Justin Houston and Marcus Peters, in my opinion, if you swap out either of those guys and put in a league average guy, you will see a bloodbath on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, you like what we saw against the Jets, I'm talking every Sunday.
Yes, of course. Because this is, yesterday I spent 5 minutes on Marcus Peters, and then I promised that we weren't going to go back to that conversation the rest of the week because my head was going to explode. But, I mean, just like the very simple math of it is, even if you want to just go ahead and say Marcus Peters is going to cost you 15 yards every game, which is not true, but if you want to take it to that extreme, Marcus Peters plus an extra 15 yards and a personal foul penalty is 100 yards per game better than a full game of Philip Gaines or Steven Nelson or Darrell Revis at this point. And Justin Houston is the same. It's just, like, if you want to actually look at those guys logically, there are rooms for criticism. There are places where you can say, is Justin Houston worth $100 million? I don't know. It depends on how he gets used in this offense. Is Marcus Peters going to deserve a really giant contract whenever his next one comes up? I don't know. It depends on a lot of things there. But the idea that this defense is somehow being hindered by either of those two is the most foolish possible take you can have about this team.
And I think there's some truth to that. I will say that I view the two of them differently.
Oh, sure.
And maybe that's unfair. Look, I don't know Marcus Peters. I don't. And that's one mistake I think a lot of fans make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think we know these people because we see them on TV for a few hours every week.
Right.
And we see them in interviews and stuff. From everything I've seen, he's a guy who cares about the community, tries to do some work. It also appears like he's a guy that's got some problem regulating his emotions on the field.
Sure.
And when it comes to, you know, when you are going to get pushback as a player, when you get a dumb personal foul penalty, then run off the field, which that whole thing, I don't know what happened there. That was weird.
It was strange.
Then not speak to the media. And then the following Tuesday, your first tweet is LOL.
Yes, also strange.
You're going to get blowback from people over that.
Sure.
And rightfully so, because it comes across like you're more like, just don't care.
Right.
I think Marcus Peters, I think he cares a lot.
Yes.
But people are going to view that a certain way. Whereas with Houston, anyone's ever questioned his effort.
No, I don't think so.
Or his willingness to hit. No. And so it's a little bit different things. People are questioning whether he's fully healthy because it seems like he's not as impactful as people would like. So You know, but those two guys, they are, those are the building blocks for this defense. And really, when you look across the board, they do have some young pieces in place. But I honestly think that this offseason, if I look at the offense and look at the defense, it's the funniest thing. The version of the offense we saw on Sunday, I am so good to roll with that into next season. I really am. Like, there's not like a, like, oh, man, they need to add this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
If they focus just on adding talent to the defense,
yep.
I'll be fine because there's plenty of talent on that offense, even though we just got done with a couple of putrid performances in a row.
Okay, and so this is really interesting. This is a question that I wanted to ask you about today.
Yes.
The difference in the offense the last 3 weeks against three pretty crummy defenses, honestly, and frankly the best of the three defenses, I think, is the Jets. Of the three New York teams that they faced in these last 3 weeks, the best offensive performance was against that best defense, was against the Jets. And now you can look at the pressure. Alex Smith last week, and I had the stat up. This also came from an article on Arrowhead Pride. On passes with no pressure, Alex Smith was 17 for 21. On passes with pressure, he was 2 for 12. And I think that can be discussed as a larger Alex Smith-specific issue. But I don't even want to talk about Alex Smith in this breath. But I'm wondering.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, sorry. We can. It's fine. He wasn't a problem. But I do want to ask you if the offense was good on Sunday, or at least if it was efficient, because the running game was non-existent, despite one giant run by Alex Smith, which was, you know, kind of bizarre. Yeah, even though
that was awesome.
I'm fully aware of how athletic, how sneaky athletic Alex Smith is, how gritty he is, and his high football IQ. I am aware of all of those things.
Yeah.
But it still is always surprising to watch him run 70 yards at a time. Anyway, despite that run, the running game was non-existent, and the offense wasn't great outside of the big plays, which is the reason for going for big plays. I want to say that very clearly. This is not me saying they should have done more short game stuff and you know, made sure they were really firing on all cylinders. I would love to see Tyreek Hill have five of those deep shots every game. I'd like to see Travis Kelce get four of them himself. Totally happy with that. But it also felt like the offense wasn't as efficient as it usually is in the intermediate and short range stuff. Am I okay there? Am I good?
I think you're fairly on point. They didn't try as much of the intermediate and short range,
which
stuff,
is fine.
Right?
Which is totally fine.
Yeah,
with me.
No one's fighting that.
No.
And I got to tell you, it was interesting. You know, I know that Andy Reid shifted some play calling power. Now, the more that I read about what exactly was accomplished, I think saying, oh, Nagy took over play calling, I think that's an oversimplification. I'm not sure that's exactly what happened.
Agreed.
You know, they still said, well, it's still by committee and, like, this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me, like, if Nagy calls something, Andy Reid says, nah.
Yeah.
That, you know, who's going to win that fight?
Yes, absolutely.
But so you saw a lot more of a focus on deep shots.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen by necessity is you're going to lose efficiency on offense because you cannot consistently throw the ball accurate 30 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks can't do that. No one does that. And so there were a couple, you know, people were freaking out because there was a shot to the left side where Hill just cooked his corner. And that was a touchdown if he got hit in stride.
Yep.
Alex threw it short. It ended up incomplete. People were freaking out. You know, I was trying to make a point about Tyreek Hill's speed.
Yes.
So many people, oh, Mahomes sticks that throw. And I said, you know, if you want me to gift you plays of Mahomes missing that throw in college, I can.
Yes, of course.
Because by its very nature, the deep ball game is less efficient.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know, otherwise teams would average 70 points a game.
Right, yes.
And so what you saw, and this is what I found interesting, there was an entirely different game plan there. It was based around completing big plays because the flip side of that coin, it's not as efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to hit on as many plays.
Right, yes.
If you're throwing the ball deep, you might not, you know, like that first drive, for example, you know, four plays, touchdown, or five plays, whatever it was. You know, a couple of drives, one play, touchdown.
Yep.
You felt bad for the defense, which, by the way, I think we're underestimating what fatigue might have done in that second half to the defense. Because, I mean, that deep ball to Hill was great.
Yep.
But the defense had just been on the field for 10 straight minutes, and you know they had to be like, yeah, that's awesome, but, man, I'm tired.
Right. I'm tired of getting cooked by Josh McCown. It's really exhausting.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think what I like about the deep passing attack is that you don't have to be as efficient. If you can avoid turnovers, mm-hmm. at least consistently, and still, and even then, you know, if you're throwing the ball 40 yards down the field and someone picks it off, well, that might not be as big a deal
a
as
punt.
If someone
just,
picks it off.
Yeah, it's just a punt.
Yeah, it's a punt with bad coverage.
Yep.
But it's a punt. And so what I think people are seeing, because Alex didn't complete a high percentage of his passes, and it's worth noting that he had a couple of bizarrely inaccurate throws short.
Yeah.
And an intermediate. Now, he also had a few times where his arm got hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you can see there is, you know, they've been hesitant to fire up the deep passing attack because they've been concerned about the pass pro. Well, the pass pro, like you said, was pretty good the majority of the game.
Yes.
But I'm curious, you know, it was a chicken or an egg thing. Was the pass pro better because of the emphasis, this is what we're going to do, rather
right.
than just having three or four plays dialed up for deep shots, place an emphasis on that? I love that, and I personally think even though the offensive line does have some issues, there's definitely talent there.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
Given the playmakers the Chiefs have, particularly Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, they should be a vertical-based offense. Yep. And before someone says, well, they run a West Coast, no, they don't. Mm-hmm. They do not run a traditional West Coast offense, and anyone who says they are is lying or wrong.
Mm.
You know,
right?
And so it should be based around there was a play where Hill's deep shot, the 70-yard touchdown. Him and Kelce were on the same side of the field, and the Jets were running some version of quarters.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelce runs across or deep down the field, forces the safety to pull up because Travis Kelce's awesome.
Yep.
And now you've got Tyreek Hill one on one with one guy.
Yeah,
and that's
it was
never
going
to happen. So I'd love to see them shift to more of that because you've got a higher margin for error. Yeah, you might only complete one of the three shots you take, but that one out of three shots, if it happens five times in the game, maybe three of them, and you and me talked about this before, maybe three of them are 40-yard gains and two of them are 70-yard touchdowns.
Yep.
And that's what we saw against the Jets. It puts points on the board.
Yep.
It's kind of like the Carolina Panthers offense the year they had a great offense. Their passing attack was almost exclusively down the field. And it didn't matter that Cam Newton was only completing 58% of his passes or whatever it was, because a lot of them were 30 or 40 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would like to see more of that. It was just, frankly, I don't have very much experience watching full games of football with that kind of offense.
Weird.
So it was really, like, I had moments of, like, what am I watching? Alex Smith has had some weird, inaccurate short throws and hit some bombs. I'm scared and confused, but also warm, just feeling warm in the inside. So,
yeah,
all right, Seth.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to go. We got to sell more furniture.
Sure.
But we will talk to you again soon. Seth Kaiser of Arrowhead Pride is on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. Go listen to the Chief in the North podcast. It's the best Chiefs podcast on the planet that's recorded through a potato microphone. So.
That's very true. Very true.
But you don't even notice because it's the quality of the content.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I have a headset. Come on now.
We're going to start a GoFundMe to get we're going to take the money from this couch we're going to sell,
yes.
And we're going to use it to find you a good microphone for Christmas.
I like it. I like it a lot. Thanks for having me, Josh.
Thanks, Seth. All right, more furniture when we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I've been eating a lot of carrots these last few days, and I think it's the Chiefs' fault. I think the Chiefs launched me into such a pit of self-destruction that I'm now eating carrots for fun.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Man, don't sell my couch! One of the newest comments that happened during the last segment here on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. Now we've got conversations like, hey, I'll take your guys' bench for the players. It's kind of like a couch. How many couches do each player have, you think? I don't know. Do you guys know any rich players who have a good couch to sell? Probably like 20. They got that big money. KC all day, home of the best couches. Although, Erica has inquired about the chair that Beards is sitting in.
I need this chair.
It's a pretty good chair.
It's a pretty good chair, considering all the other really crappy chairs we have at the station.
It's the same style as the chair that I'm in, and we have three more of them here in the studio, actually. We could probably sell one of those silently. No, who would ever know? You would have to listen to the show to have heard our master plan.
Fortunately, none of the higher-ups do.
Exactly.
We're good.
Exactly. All right, listen, this segment's very short because we had a very long first segment and a very long second segment, but more couches when we come back?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I think we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey over in the A10 studio.
We did. I know we
I don't
did.
Know what's happened to that.
Shh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a medium, so I'm currently on a starvation diet so I can fit into it.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean,
we had a Patrick Mahomes jersey that just disappeared? Ooh, spooky.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Furniture. You can call the show to talk about your furniture. 913-491-8255. What, Beards? Just what were you going to say? You grabbed your microphone and you started laughing.
This show, man.
Yeah, it's weird. And usually it's weird and it's our own fault, and that's what makes today the most distressing.
Today's weird, extremely weird. But it's been enjoyably fun.
Because we don't have any control over
it. Oh, no, this has been completely out of our control, and we're just sitting back, and instead of, like, throwing gasoline on the fire ourselves,
yeah,
we're watching everybody else do it, and we're just kind of sitting back there going, should we stop them?
It's like, I imagine it's like two exhausted parents watching their kid get, like, into a fight with that one family's kid at the playground. Or just like little Jimmy's been picked on by Bobby too many times, and little Jimmy's just like throwing sand in his eyes right now. Just throwing pocketfuls of sand right into Bobby's dumb open mouth. And then it's that exact phrase that you just said, Beards. Should we stop him? And the answer is no. Throw your sand. Throw your sand. Football is horrifying. Breaking news, Ryan Shazier's back injury, like the specifics have been so tiny, so minute, that, and also his reaction was so horrifying at the time when he just grabbed his back and then rolled himself over, that you have to be terrified about if he's going to walk again. Also in that Steelers-Bengals game last night, Monday Night Football, Juju Smith-Schuster, and also I think it was a safety for the Bengals, but Juju Smith-Schuster, the receiver for the Steelers, and the defensive player for the Bengals, whose name escapes me at the moment, both ended up getting one-game suspensions. Smith-Schuster for a blindside block on Vontaze Burfict, he had to be carted off, which was a really interesting visual after Burfict's long history of forcing other guys to have to be carted off after dirty hits. Smith-Schuster gave a block to Vontaze Burfict that would have 5 years ago, definitely 10 years ago, would have been played 1,000 times on ESPN for the rest of the week as, look at this block that rocked Vontaze Burfict out of his shoes. It was like all this big hit. And the hit that the Bengals defensive back gave to Antonio Brown on that touchdown also would have been the same way. But the Smith-Schuster one especially was a like textbook block 10 years ago. But it was helmet to helmet, so he was penalized. He also stood over Burfict. But only for a second, because he like literally like Burfict ended up like between his legs. And you can't have helmet to helmet hits. And I understand that. But there's a third piece to this conversation. So Smith-Schuster and this Bengals player are both appealing their suspensions, and I don't think either of them should be suspended. Both of those plays happened in the moment of the game in a split second when things like that happened. Penalizing them at the time, totally fine. You have to try to divert that if you can. It's hard to do that because, again, you're making these decisions so quickly, and in some cases, pieces are moving so fast. But to some extent, the NFL is just going to penalize helmet-to-helmet contact just so they can say that they did. I don't know how else Smith-Schuster is going to block perfect in that moment. I don't know how else that defensive back was going to hit Antonio Brown as he held on to a crazy touchdown. I don't know how you're going to do that any differently when you're moving that quickly. But it happened. So they get the flag. If you want to find them, I guess you're going to find them. But they're suspended for one game. They're both appealing. But Rob Gronkowski dropped a flying elbow into the back of the head of a Buffalo Bills defensive back and also got one game. We found out today that it was not, the appeal was not heard or whatever, or it was heard and not overturned. He's going to serve a one-game suspension. But this was Gronkowski with his, like, giant, like, elbow cast. Brady threw a pick. Gronk felt that he had been pushed off on, apparently. And he really was not egregious, especially for Rob Gronkowski. And the defensive back picks it off, runs, gets tackled. The play is over. And Gronk comes in with a WWE top rope flying elbow. And the guy gets put into concussion protocol. His mouth was bleeding. And it was an after-the-play incident. And it wasn't even... I think what Gronkowski did was more egregious than what Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree did. Because now, those guys got into a fist fight. And that is optically bad. And suspending those guys for one game, fine with me. That's fine. But at least that was something where they were standing on equal ground, on equal footing. The Gronkowski thing was a targeting of a completely defenseless player after the play, not within the confines of football. Also, the people who commit the offenses are going to be taken into account whenever the offenses are punished, obviously. And Gronkowski gets the benefit of the doubt in a lot of ways. He's the big, dumb, I think Levitard's called him a big, dumb polar bear. Gronkowski's a polar bear that is just kind of a buffoon, right? That's how we think of him. I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's how you think of him. And, oh, he acted out in a fit of rage, and he threw an elbow into the back of an opponent's head. Oh, Gronk. It's Gronk being Gronk. But if it's a defensive back or wide receiver carrying significantly less weight on their frame than Rob Gronkowski is, having a football play, they're also getting suspended for one game. Again, that appeal could go somewhere. I just think that's completely bonkers. It's optically terrible for the NFL to say that those things are equally punishable. I thought that was silly. All right, Beards, give me something couch-related to lighten it up. You came to the microphone a second ago, and I assume something happened.
Charlie wanted to know if you said defensive, what was it?
Backle.
During that last sentence or so.
Defensive backle. I mean, it's possible. I could have combined back and tackle. Do you think I said that? Like, did you hear me? Charlie is now approaching
the
mic.
Yes, I did think that, but I also told Beards that you don't really need to go on the air and ask him that because it's really not, it means nothing, but he did anyway. So.
I mean, just during the break, just like go back and check during the break, and if I did say defensive backle at the time, then that's the liner for the next segment.
There wasn't much in the way of new couch news, so okay. I had to come up with something. I didn't want to just, sit there like and sound like this.
Well, please don't sit in silence for a visual joke on a radio program.
I mean, it was an audio joke.
Also fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Also, to keep you engaged, we'll talk about Steph Curry's ankle later or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But the NFL is just like, it's, and also eventually someone's gonna die on the field, and a bunch of people are going to pretend to be horrified, and that will be dumb, because we see it every week. We had three players this week get suspended for helmet-related contact. You had Shazier in the game last night. Had some sort of spinal cord contusion. I saw somebody tweet, oh, thank goodness it's just a spinal cord contusion. You know how horrifying the game, you know how barbaric the game you're playing is if you go, oh, foof, it was just a spinal cord contusion. Do you know what would happen if, like, if Jordan Spieth got a spinal cord contusion? America would ban golf clubs.
How do you do that? How would you get a spinal cord contusion playing golf?
I don't know. You swing too hard. You swing around. You hit yourself on your backswing with your club. I don't know.
Or somebody, the opponent that's, like, behind runs in and hits you in the back trying to mess up your swing.
Sure. Also, think about that. Ask yourself this question.
Sword fight with golf clubs
on
the course.
Listen to this. I like this game.
That's why they pack like a 15 iron.
Listen to this. How do you get a spinal contusion in baseball? Oh, God, I have no idea. Maybe you get hit with a wild pitch or something with a catcher. I don't know. Something terrible.
Collision.
How would you get a spinal cord contusion in basketball? Oh, God. I mean, I don't know. Like, you fall awkwardly and really injure yourself terribly. How would you get a spinal contusion in soccer? Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe somebody
flops so hard.
Maybe somebody kicks you in the back. How do you get a spinal contusion in football? Oh, I mean, like any play. I mean, just every play someone has a spinal contusion. It's just football. Think about how crazy that is. If someone gets a spinal... Steph Curry twisted his ankle and we're currently, like, the cameras follow him out. In football, it's like, oh, well, there goes Ryan Shazier. His back is broken. Second down and 9. It's crazy. Football is a crazy sport. And again, eventually someone's going to, like, die on the field. And you're just going to go, like, oh, man, we never saw you. I can't believe it. Also, again, apparently a series of subconcussive hits are more dangerous than actual concussions. So, but it doesn't look as bad. And you can't do a damn thing about it. So the NFL is not going to, you know, throw a flag in on every subconcussive hit because literally every lineman and every linebacker and every running back on every play would get diagnosed with that. They're happening literally every play. Kind of got dark there, I guess. Kind of took that to a dark place. I saw some of that stuff last night, and just that's where it went for me. If you want to lighten it up, we can talk about the fact that there's no way that Rob Gronkowski would have only gotten one game if he was black. That's just true, right? No one's going to fight me on that one.
I'm leaving that one alone. You can handle that one all by yourself.
If that was Martellus Bennett, it's two games. If Rob Gronkowski would have switched bodies with Martellus Bennett, who's currently on the injured reserve, I know. But if Martellus Bennett does that, it's two games. Travis Kelce, 1. Zach Ertz, 1. Greg Olsen, 1.
Anybody got a dresser? I could use one.
Why? Oh, God, I furnished your joke. Okay, sorry. Sorry, I missed that one. I'm just saying. I'm just letting you know. I just wanted to bring that up. I use a white shrugging
Charlie
emoji.
Charlie needs a kitchen table.
I use a white shrugging emoji and a black shrugging emoji in my tweet, and I was going to see if anybody did anything with it. No one really called me out.
And an end table, he says.
Anyway. Seriously, though, yeah, the left arm of the couch at my house, the main couch at my house, is like it's literally almost on the ground at this point. It's really a disaster, so I could use like a real long couch. It's like, you know, could seat 3 people comfortably, one of those.
We're talking about getting a sectional downstairs. I don't quite know how this is going to work, though.
This sectionals are good because you get to, like, you can decide, like, oh, you know what? I like this setup in January, but now it's I don't know, it's March. Well, let's switch it up a little bit.
See, here's the issue with sectional in the words downstairs.
Oh.
Yeah. Our stairway does a thing where it, you know, goes down 7 steps and then it turns and then goes down more.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's closed walled and it is physically impossible to get almost anything down there.
Well, I guess using a sectional would be better than an actual big piece of furniture, right? Several smaller pieces of furniture?
I have no idea.
I mean, that has to be easier. You couldn't snake a big old long couch around
We have enough trouble getting a mattress down there.
Oh, man. What is currently down there?
My room.
Oh. So wait, is your family subtly kicking you out?
No. There's 2 rooms downstairs.
You know what, Beards / Nathaniel? Does your family call you Nathaniel?
No.
Does anyone call you Nathaniel?
No.
Why is that your name?
I don't remember.
Okay. So they say, hey, Beards. It's what I assume they do call you instead. hey, listen, we're thinking about getting, thinking about kind of turning your room into kind of like a family room, like a kind of like maybe an entertainment kind of room. Like we'll get like a sectional and like a big TV, maybe some speakers and stuff, redecorate and everything. You're like, oh, okay. I guess there's room in there to add that. Just kind of put the couch like around my bed. Yeah. Well, we weren't really thinking about maybe we'd, you know, move your bed. Go, okay, where? Like, I don't know, just kind of whenever you move out.
No, there's three rooms downstairs.
Beards just realized this is the truth, and this is what's happening, and now he's scrambling to figure out how he's going to pay rent next month.
I think I can sleep at the station, maybe. I don't think anybody will notice.
No one would notice.
No.
No one would notice unless you started billing your hours.
I could do that.
Sure, you're here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I could always just do work.
I dreamt about the show.
There's liners I can cut. I can make more imaging.
Everyone will know that when you get kicked out of your house, because we'll start the show that just like random Tuesday, and it's going to sound like the Chainsmokers produced the intro to the show. Like every piece of it is just going to be so perfectly manicured, and you go, oh wow, the production value of this show really shot out of a cannon. What happened? Oh, Beards must have spent the night here last night.
They'll just open up my paycheck for the week, or they'll be setting up my paycheck for the week, and they'll just be like, why did you work 7 days nonstop? It's like, just on Sunday I write, like, you know, 12 a.m.
Right.
And then nothing else. And the Saturday, it's 11:59 p.m.
No p.m. Unless you're taking half an hour, you're taking 12 hours off on Saturday to go party it up. The 12 hours on Saturday is whenever you go, like, sleep at Fazoli's. Because when you're at Fazoli's, you're family or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's an Olive Garden thing.
Yeah, that's an Olive Garden thing.
All right. I don't...
I think Fazoli's is, you can't sleep here.
That's their motto. As many breadsticks as you want, as long as you're awake. Fazoli's. I was trying to think if there's any other... I think we had this conversation a while ago that I don't think I've ever been to... I've never been to an Olive Garden or a Long John Silver's on my own accord.
Just once to the Olive Garden... Or not Olive Garden. To Long John Silver's for me, and it was... When I was like 3 or 4, and we didn't eat there.
On your own? What?
Yeah.
What's that story? That's really specific.
If we like went
there. I said on my own accord. Like, I've never gone there by my own choice.
I think we went there for lunch, and it was like either it was really busy or we were just kind of like, eh, never mind. We don't want this. And then just left.
Nice.
So that's the only time I've been inside of Long John Silver's. Never been to an Olive Garden.
Riveting.
Charlie likes the salad.
Riveting radio. Oh,
and the
please.
Breadsticks.
I know this is a joke. I know it's a joke because Charlie said he liked a salad.
You're a joke.
Keep up your performances like that, Charlie, and you're going to be nominated for like a best supporting actor at the Oscars. Like that was beautiful.
Do they have those at the Marconi's?
Yeah, sure. We're broadcasting live. Streaming services are nominated for awards now all the time. Netflix, Amazon Prime, and everything. Facebook Live's first nomination.
Do we
Charlie
need to
Carlin.
Start charging then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think we quite have that yet, because if you've forgotten, Beards, the first segment of our show today was literally about selling furniture.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
NFC South, I mean, that's okay, and I'm coughing. Beards, take five, would you? Just get out of here.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Beards asked me during the break if this is the weirdest show I've ever done, and I don't know. It's the weirdest from our perspectives, because the weirdness hasn't been about us. The weirdness for us has been that Facebook took off without us and left us behind.
I think the only other time Facebook's been like this is during the quarterback handsomeness discussion, because that got like 100 comments.
that was about the show. Also, that was like two or three people just going back, like going in like a cycle. We have some variants today. It's been weird, but I've enjoyed
it. And some new people.
Yeah. So welcome to the show, new people. I hope you've enjoyed this as much as we have. Because I tell you what, this has been the most enjoyable show we've done in a while.
Oh, for sure. Stupid Chiefs.
Stupid damn Chiefs.
It is completely their fault, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So yeah, Beards and I were talking about this before the show today also. I just said, like, man, I told him, like, honestly, the last 7 weeks of this show have been way harder than, like, the first five. But that's not even true. The first... Just the last 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks have been like, oh, man, we got to talk about this thing happening. And even the Giants game was like, at least it gave us something to, like, just sort of rage at. But the Bills and the Jets losses, ugh. The Steelers one was also kind of like that, because the show after the Steelers lost kind of felt like an I Told You So show, even though I did also tell you that I thought the Chiefs were going to win against the Steelers, which was obviously very wrong of me. Like, it took me back to where I was before the season. Beards and Charlie are discussing something now. Do you want to play for me whatever it is that you just were playing for yourselves?
It's something that Charlie found. It's from Fox? NFL on Fox?
Yeah, NFL on Fox. They trolled the Chiefs hard this past Sunday. And I don't know if you heard it or not, but it's pretty good. And it kind of hurts as a Chiefs fan,
yeah,
but
let's,
it also,
fine,
you,
okay.
I think you need to hear it because they mentioned your boyfriend.
You mean my girlfriend's future boyfriend?
Oh, yes, yeah, that's what we meant.
Yeah. How long is this clip?
It's 50 seconds.
All right, we can do that. Yeah, okay, leave my mic on, and then we'll go at it. This is from Fox NFL Countdown? NFL Sunday? It's
the
from
the
it's a Fox pregame show this Sunday. All right, bleep it.
Granddad, tell us a story about the good old days.
Okay, I'll tell you a story about when Chiefs used to be good.
Oh, dang it.
I remember it like it was 7 weeks ago. Anyway, the Chiefs were 5-0.
The 6-5 Chiefs?
Oh, yeah, they beat the Patriots and the Eagles.
Whoa.
There was even talk of Alex Smith being MVP.
They need two-star Patrick Mahomes.
You wouldn't have said that back in my day 7 weeks ago. It was a different time. A loaf of bread costs $2.50.
What does it cost now?
$2.50.
Charlie, good job.
That's funny. Yeah, good work, Charlie. I'm glad you found that. I had not seen or heard that anywhere. That's good. I mean, what I meant to say is I hadn't heard it since they asked me to do that voice work. That was I hadn't heard the whole thing. I just sent them the MP3 of me going, "They need to start Patrick Mahomes." I sent them that, and then they're like, "Cool, we'll put it out." I forgot to check on it again. I'm guessing I get like royalties from that. I don't know how that works. Am I hourly?
I think you got a flat rate of about one carat.
Have we talked about baby carrots on this show?
Yes.
Okay.
How they're
just cut up big carrots.
Down.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. We had that discussion.
That's insane, though. Every time. Did you know that, Charlie? That baby carrots aren't small carrots; they're just big carrots that have been cut down. Like I had so little innocence left. Finding that out just like tore the last bit of it away from me. The next are going to tell me that the New York Jets and Giants don't actually play football in New York. Or that mommy wasn't kissing Santa Claus. Or that those people on the Facebook page weren't actually trying to sell furniture.
I need to get my money back then.
I mean, that's a mystery that we will truly never know, and I don't want to know. I want to live in the mystery of it. Wow. All right. So, do you want to talk about the Chiefs thing that I had planned for like the first segment of today's show? Like, I had more Chiefs stuff I wanted to say.
I feel like
say.
You did that. I feel like you gave your stat, and then that was it. That was good. That was a good stat, and then it just became just a flood of furniture.
Yeah. Which again is fine with me, I guess.
Which, by the way, how'd you plan that?
The furniture thing?
Yeah. How'd you know that was going to happen?
I had it all. It's all scripted in my rundown, obviously. Yeah, I just, you know, you talk to the right people. You tell them, hey, listen, I got nothing planned for 4:10. So at 4:09, I need you to try to sell a couch on the Facebook page. What? What do you mean? Do it. Checks in the mail. Yeah, I still have no idea what's going on the Facebook page, but I've enjoyed it very much. But seriously, I had like the first thing I was going to talk about was the Marcus Peters, Derek Johnson tackle stat. The next thing I wanted to talk about was like the pass rush and how bad it's been, and then a couple things we ended up talking to Seth about, which we like. I was going to talk about before you talked to Seth. The front seven is a disaster, and it makes me sad. The defense has lots of problems, and truly, the biggest problem is the thing that Seth pointed out, which is that the Chiefs just aren't that talented defensively. I was very optimistic about the defensive line coming into this season. I thought Benny Logan would be more effective in the pass rush. He has not been. I thought Chris Jones would take a step forward. He has not done that. I thought Alan Bailey would be better than he's been so far. I thought Rakeem Yezroches might develop. I thought none of it. Just none of it. And now I think you can, and this is something I wish I would have asked Seth, but I'll answer it for you now, I guess. I think if you're going to say, hey, this defense has been stagnant for a couple of years now, I think you have to ask then the follow-up of, well, whose fault is that? I think you can very fairly ask Bob Sutton the question, yeah, your players haven't really developed very well over the last few years, for the most part, minus the crazy talent of Marcus Peters and Justin Houston. Why is that? I think you can fairly put some blame at the feet of Bob Sutton. Now, that is kind of reaching for a solution, I admit. Because just sort of flipping the whole roster is going to take some time. We've already started doing it. We've talked ad nauseum about cutting Tom Bahali and Derek Johnson, maybe Alan Bailey. You're not doing anything with Marcus Peters and Justin Houston. They're staying. Eric Berry comes back. That makes you a little hopeful. But more than anything else, it's finding pass rushers. Cutting Justin Houston, or excuse me, no, nope, not that, Freudian slip, cutting D Ford. You're going to have to do some sort of turnover there. Defensive line, front seven, because again, in the last seven games, the Chiefs have gotten seven sacks. It's really hard to win football games that way, as you may have noticed. Roger has asked what I think Patrick Mahomes' couches looks like. It says verbatim, what do you think Pat Mahomes' couch looks like?
I just kind of, not anything extravagant, just a couch. It's functional. It's perfectly comfortable. But it's nothing exciting, I feel like.
Listen, I'm not going to pretend to know what Patrick Mahomes' couch looks like. I just know that it would look a hell of a lot better with me on it. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, did I say that about Mahomes' couch?
Yep.
I meant that about Smith.
You weren't listening.
I know, I wasn't.
Yep, and I was just sitting here waiting for your bad joke to be done so I could make my good joke that I don't even think you and Charlie heard.
Leave your couch.
I wish you could have all seen the look on Charlie's face as he realized that we were waiting for him to speak. My Mahomes couch joke was good, and neither of you were listening.
That'll look better with you on it? Yes, I heard that.
You weren't listening.
I heard that.
You heard it, but you weren't listening.
I was more concerned about the fact that I then misspoke about it being Mahomes' couch and not Smith's.
That's fair. Alex Smith's couch is a park bench. it'll do for a little while. But if you're stuck with it for too long, your butt's gonna hurt. Pat Mahomes is like a Tesla model couch. Oh no, this is perfect. This is it. This is the actual answer. Patrick Mahomes is a Tesla couch. Bunch of resources in it. Could like take you to the moon. Also, might not work. It might just fizzle out at launch. We really don't know. So, yeah, that's it.
So are you Elon Musk in this scenario?
No, I didn't create Patrick Mahomes. I'm just like... I've just like sold my soul to buy a Tesla. Or I'm volunteering to like... I'm having a really hard time finishing that analogy. I don't know. I got nothing for you. I didn't actually invest in Patrick Mahomes. I'm investing in him emotionally. Oh, man. Can you imagine? You thought this show's been sad the last 3 weeks. Can you imagine next year if they're just like, they're like 0-8? Mahomes has thrown like 20 picks in the first 8 weeks, and it's just over.
And, of course, that's coming off the sad, depressing Royals season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I didn't even think about that.
The Royals that win, what, 30 games?
They'll win 60.
In 3 years?
Not a bad joke.
It's repayment for the Mahomes-Smith screw-up.
But the Chiefs pass rush, which is where this conversation started, remember? It is the place right now that makes me the saddest. And also, I think you might be able to learn a lesson from the offense yesterday, or the offense on Sunday. You can cover up for some problems. The Chiefs running game yesterday was horrendous. Alex Smith's 70-yard run does not count as a part of the running game. Counts as a part of Alex Smith's game, to be sure. But it's not a part of the running game. The running game was horrendous. It has been for weeks now. But you get some really big plays like the Chiefs did on Sunday. You get a little extra aggressive. Somebody just yelled, woo, really high-pitched behind me, and it startled Beards. But if you play that well on big plays, it covers up some of the shortcomings. The thing I would like to see Bob Sutton and this defense do this year is to do some more things aggressively. Maybe you blitz Daniel Sorensen and see what happens. You've just got to blitz Justin Houston. It's going to leave you vulnerable somewhere, but you've got to get pressure on the quarterbacks, man. You're going to give Derek Carr and Phillip Rivers. I'm not worried about Jay Cutler or Trevor Siemian or Brock Osweiler or Paxton Lynch or whatever. But you're going to give Derek Carr and Phillip Rivers time to sit in the pocket and just pick you apart. You're going to lose both of those games. You've got to do something to get to the quarterback. And you couldn't get the Josh McCown. You couldn't get the Tyrod Taylor. You couldn't get to Eli Manning. That's something that 100% must change. So have Marcus Peters play more man-to-man. Leave him on an island more often. You make him be a number one corner and send more pressure to the quarterback. You simply have to do that. It's the best way. It's a little reckless, and it's not like Bob Sutton, but it's the best possible thing I can come up with to try to amend the horrors of this pass rush and the horrors of a defense that isn't as talented as we thought it was going to be. Also, the Chiefs' defense was on the field for 85 plays on Sunday, which is incredible. They gave up 13 of the 20 third downs that the Jets had against them. The Jets had a 13 for 20 third down conversion rate.
Man, the Jets must be good.
Unfortunately, that's not it. No. I mean, that's legitimately unbelievable. It is beyond believable. And it's really hard to figure out how you fix that if the talent is the problem, which seems like it may be the case. I think if you're Bob Sutton, if you're this defense, though, you have to at least try some reckless abandon. It's something you haven't tried yet. Renee has suggested that Patrick Mahomes' couch would be a couch where you could pass long amounts of time on.
You still worried about that, by the way?
Well, no. So since she's stayed home the last 2 days because of the concussion thing, and you know she's like sore and everything. Isn't that Mahomes' event tomorrow? It's tonight? I gotta go.